different counties in each year, but on the way back, when we go to Bowie and come back, we all stopped, still up to start. And it's just temptation to take that paper and put it in somebody's mailbox, you know, like replace their morning newspaper.
All right, I'm going to call the meeting to order. I want to welcome everybody here to the next meeting of the Garrett County Commissioners. If everyone would please stand, Commissioner Titchener will do the invocation, and then please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today just thanking you for all that you do for us. Lord, we just continue to ask that you would be with us throughout this meeting today. Give us the wisdom and to do the right thing. And Lord, we just ask that you continue to be with each and every one of us. Lord, we again praise you and glorify you and thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, we ask that, you know, anything that's said here today is pleasing to you. Lord, we ask all this in thy most precious holy name. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. Mr. Knoll, we have any additions or deletions to the public agenda?
No, sir, we do not.
Hearing none, do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
We have a second?
Second.
Motion is second. Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Agenda is approved as written. Everybody got a copy of the minutes in advance. Are there any questions, concerns, corrections with the minutes? Hearing none, do we have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
We have a second?
Second.
Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes approved as written. Next up on the agenda, we have some departmental updates, and first up, Jim Torrington with permits and inspection. Sir.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
How you are? This is a spreadsheet I prepare for you guys from time to time. It goes back 5 years and shows you our permit activities, approved permit activities, for the first 10 months of each year. And I wanted to bring to your attention today, of course, we've issued 422 building permits this year for a total value of $113 million. This year, as opposed to the last couple, we had a real increase in housing starts, 164 new housing starts. That's modular and stick-built homes. Of course, 12 double-wide and 10 single-wide local homes, as well as a 30-unit apartment building over the town of Mount Lake Park. I had the opportunity today to take a look at numbers before July 1st, which was the cutoff in terms of sprinkler requirement, and after July 1st in terms of our permitting. Before July, we had 190 housing starts. After July 1st, we've had now 26 housing starts. Two of those are sprinkled new homes. Four of those were modular, and 20 of those are on public water. We still have that six-month window of opportunity for those served public water. They're not required to sprinkle their new home if they get a permit before January 1st of 2016. I anticipate a run-up here the next month of new housing starts. A couple contractors have said to me, I have six or seven to bring in. I said, bring them in before Christmas, because who knows how many people are going to be off.
Yeah.
You know, that's a holiday kind of time. So it's also interesting to note that we had 37 commercial projects this year, taxable commercial projects, at a value of $40 million, 40.4. Of that, 12 were, of course, wind turbine project at Fairwinds, which came to about about 33 million. So the rest of the commercial projects valued at about 7 million. It's pretty substantial for the first 10 months of the year. Which we had 11 exempt, taxable exempt projects at a value of 15 million this year. The lion's share of that was the hospital project currently ongoing. So I provide this to you. I provide this to a couple of you all here in the media. If you have any questions, certainly more than happy to entertain them.
Thanks for making it big enough to read.
Yeah. I'd also want to bring to your attention HUD, Housing Development, the federal government, has brought to Maryland a new licensing requirement for manufactured home dealers and installers. It went live on November 1st. It does require the county to provide inspection reports to HUD for every new manufactured home placed in the county here. We've not had any yet at this point, but it's kind of thrown that whole manufactured housing community in a tizzy the last couple of months. I've sat in on a couple phone conferences with HUD, and typical federal government.
What was the purpose of that? What's the intent?
Well, across the country, there are probably 37 states that participate with HUD in the manufacturing housing process. Maryland was not one of those. They never joined in with HUD. So HUD has taken the initiative on themselves to require licensing. Pennsylvania currently participates with HUD, licenses manufactured home dealers. For a number of years. Maryland never entered into that with HUD. So we, Maryland, are the first state to get this new HUD requirement. So in the future, we will have inspection reporting to HUD on all new installations.
Well, that's the explain. Good potential for tax base growth. That's one thing.
Yeah.
I told Jim I drove up through Shingle Camp today, and just along there you can see four or five new houses up. What's the new development?
Biltmore.
Biltmore.
Yeah, we've got a number of new houses starting.
Yeah, there's
up
a lot going on.
And like I said, I anticipate a real run up here to the end of the year. Of course, who knows what next year will be.
I was going to say that's great short term. We'll
yeah.
see how sustainable that
right.
is.
Right.
Any other questions? Larry? Yeah. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it. Next up is the Department of Planning and Land Management, Debbie Carpenter.
Hi there. I'm going to start with just day-to-day operations. In 2015, thus far, we processed 238 zoning permits in Deep Creek Watershed and 73 town zoning permits. Majority of them were in Mount Lake Park, with Oakland a close second. Just remember, zoning permits range from anything from decks and sheds to new housing starts and businesses. So it can be a lot of different things. Also, land use changes. We processed 48 subdivision applications. 35 were approved. 13 are still pending. That's 25 lot line adjustments, 18 minor subs, 3 major, and 2 planned residential developments. The planned residential development is at the WISP. The WISP, overwhelmingly, the majority of lots that were created this year were at the PRD, at the WISP. 47 out of the, I don't know what the total is, but there's 47 at the PRD. We have a total of 915 transient vacation rental unit licensed. We had 42 new applications in this year so far. We have 106 liquor licenses that we manage. 73 of them are full-time sales. The rest of them are part-time and nonprofit event licenses. We had 2 new applications this year, and 2 are still pending. They'll be on the December ballot. We have 12 licensed junkyards. 3 to 5 of them are currently inactive. One of them is the county landfill, so only about half of them are active at the moment. We investigated 6 livability complaints, 5 junkyard complaints, and 4 unsafe structure complaints. So that is day-to-day business. Any questions on that? No? Okay. Second topic. You are in possession of a letter from the Planning Commission, and It is about the comprehensive plan. Our original plan was to start the comprehensive review process next year. It's a two-year process. We were operating under the assumption that it would be due in 2018. However, the law that changed it from six-year to 10-year review cycle also mandated that the Department of Planning come up with guidelines for how all jurisdictions can phase that review process in. Those guidelines came out in September as draft and became formalized in October. And they recommended that the jurisdictions wait till after the 2020 census so that we can incorporate that kind of information. So basically, they gave us Garrett County a range between 2021 and 2023. But what that basically means is you've got a drop-dead date of have it done by 2023, but you can do it whenever you want. It's up to you. The Planning Commission recommendation, after talking about it for a couple months, was to re-examine it in 1 year and then decide when to do it. And the reason for that is because there's a lot of unknowns. There's a lot of hot button issues, not least of which, and not the only one, but not least of which is Marcellus Shale. So these are topics that need to be discussed, and there's a lot of unknowns until MDE comes out with regulations and our local shale gas advisory group has a chance to examine where the gaps might exist. So it makes sense for us in the comprehensive review cycle to have that information and be able to incorporate it. So that was the recommendation, and in the letter it just asked that if you have any objection to waiting for a year, to please let us know. Any questions on that?
I think it's actually prudent to wait a year.
That's my idea.
In that case, I think it's stupid.
Jim knows all about it. Okay. All right, next topic, North Bay Run Stormwater Assessment. You are aware that we had a grant to conduct a stormwater assessment, and that is, the assessment is complete. We have had two public hearings. The contractor is still under contract until the end of this month. We have a technical team here at the county level that includes Jim and a couple of his employees, and Dave Ritchie from engineering, and Willie Lance from the University of Maryland. And we will be meeting with our contractor next week. Basically what they've done is come up with a model. They started with a model that tries to locate areas in a watershed that are prone to erosion based on a number of known factors, soil type, K factor, relief of the land. There's a number of different ones. And what that model does is it highlights those areas that probably have issues. Then what you do is you put citizen observations and field assessment observations in it, and much as we suspected, the model and what is on the ground matched. And the importance of that is that we now have a model that can be replicated in other watersheds. So, what AMT has been doing the last few weeks is coming up with specific remediation strategies for hotspot areas in the North Bay Run sub-watershed. So our team will meet with them, we'll review those strategies, and we'll come up with priorities. And the way I see this going in the future is when we determine what the priorities are, things that can actually be done, we'll set up community meetings with those specific areas where the hotspot exists and come up with a viable solution for grant funding to pay for anything that needs to be done. Also part of that is University of Maryland is looking at an incentive program for people to be incentivized to be able to put stormwater management features on their property, rain barrels, rain gardens, conservation landscaping, that sort of thing. So they have a survey out right now to see what the general feel of the public is, if such a program would be warranted. It's very similar to the Baywise program, which is in the rest of the state. We probably call it something like Lakewise, because we're cute like that. And we will see what it is. And to be honest, we haven't had a whole lot of responses at this point in time. University of Maryland, the Extension Office, Willie Lance, they'll determine if it's a viable program based on the responses. Any questions about that?
Will that report be posted on our website?
Everything's posted on our website.
I think it's important because
yes,
we went through the whole process within the last 8 months.
Mm-hmm. So So, no questions on that one? Yes, no, maybe? All right, last item are web maps, which is a fantastic feature. Had an addition here lately, and it was in response to a problem. All creativity and innovation is in response to a problem. So the problem is that if you want a nice little printout of a tax map, it's a little hard to get. You can go to a state website, and what the state website does is zooms into a little point and then puts a buffer around, so it really doesn't show you much of the community when you print it out. Or you can go downstairs to assessment, and they have this really big piece of paper that shows the entire tax map grid, and you have to copy it. It's not easy. So what JB did was he came up with the system where you can get a PDF map that's already formatted for you, nice little legend. It's really quite beautiful. So what you do is you go on, and if you know what tax map, you can go to the tax map that you're, let's say you want to go to tax map 50. Every tax map has 24 grids. You can click on one of those grids, and it will come up with three options for you, two maps and one database. The database is a list of all roads that exist in that grid cell. And the two maps, there's a regular map and a plan map. On the regular map, you have a aerial photography behind, which makes it nice and pretty, but it's a little hard to get other features on top of it because it kind of gets messed up in the color. You do see addresses and you see road names on that. The plan map does not have the photography underneath of it. So on that map, you can see topo lines, and you can see parcel lines, and you can see parcel identifiers. So it has a lot more information. So for every grid on every tax map, you can get a printout. If you ever want a demonstration of that, JB, I'm sure, will be happy to show you how it works. We've also, by the way, moved our web maps were a little hard to find because they were, and they still are, under addressing and mapping on the left-hand column on our website. What we did was we made a separate one just for web maps in that column. So you can get to it directly, or you can get to it from the addressing and mapping page. Any questions on that?
I'll make one quick comment. And I know he's not here, but JB has done a fantastic job with the mapping stuff. I know we used him a lot with the Arts and Entertainment District in Grantsville and the maps that we needed, which were very precise. And I know some other towns have used him for how he's been fantastic. So kudos to him and your department for that. Anything else? Fantastic. Thank you very much. Gentlemen, anything for Debbie? Okay, thank you. All right, next up, Garrett County Purchasing Department, Brian Bowers, with some bid awards.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. We have three contract awards and one contract extension for your consideration today. The first bid award, this is for a construction project known as the Cherry Glade Phase 2 road construction project, which is basically taking Penny Lane where it stops now and running it over to 4th Street, unearthing the Cherry Glade stream, putting a concrete arch bridge across there, restoring the stream, and paving the road across to 4th Street. We did accept bids for this project back on September 3rd, received a total of 5 bids. There was a tabulation and accompanying documents provided to you prior to our meeting today. We did have to send the bid results down to State Highway for their review and concurrence. We did get their approval just recently to award the contract, and that's why I'm here today. The recommendation is to award the bid to Beitzel Corporation in the amount of $1,046,886. The project completion is 240 working days. The bid actually came in slightly higher than the engineer's estimate. It was about 4.4% above the engineer's estimate. Funding for the project is through the Federal Highway Administration ARC grant, and there are some county funds that are included in the 2016 fiscal year budget. That total amount of funding in there is $1,396,938. But I want to point out that there is, because of the nature of the work, the county is retaining SHA to do our inspection and materials testing, which, you know, the cost of those two items is right around $200,000. So when you add that in, there is a contingency cushion there, but that, you know, that disparity between those two numbers is diminishing. I just want to point that out to you.
But it's still existent.
It still exists, and we have contingency to cover any change orders, but it's just not as broad when you factor in those two items. So with that being said, I'm asking for your approval to go ahead and award the contract. At this stage in the game, because we're going into winter, State Highway will require us to go ahead within contract award. Within 45 days, we have to give the notice to proceed. But of course, we're going to go right into winter shutdown. Because of the sequencing of construction and because of the stream restrictions, we will not be able to start work there before May 1st, just because of the stream restriction. So it's our goal to, once we award the contract, have the pre-construction meeting, do the notice to proceed, have a winter shutdown, but to officially start the project beginning May 1.
And there's 240 working days from May 1 on?
Yes, that is correct.
I mean, that's the maximum they can do it.
That's
day.
Working days, yes, not calendar days.
I think everybody probably knows, but the reason we're doing this is to make the remaining property in the old county roads site developable.
Yes.
Well, there is some interest in
there.
There
is interest
property,
in that
so.
Property. So. Okay. Any questions for Brian on Cherry Glade Road Construction Project? Do we have a motion to accept the bid?
So moved.
We have a second.
Second.
Question or motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Bid award. Yes, sir. Hold on.
That's just for clarification purposes. Where Penny Lane stops, you know, this would keep it going to 4th Street is basically what we're talking about here.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I know Jim and I talked about that years ago with the stream issue, and you know, that's been a long-standing thing, but just for my understanding, it would just finish where Penny Lane stops right now, 4th Street.
Right.
We've had the money for a long time. We just, there have been a lot of reasons why it's taken this long, but when Clear Mountain Bank bought their property, we made an agreement with them as part of the terms of sale that we would extend Penny Lane all the way back to 4th Street.
Right.
But they gave us some time to do that, so it's a good project.
Sure.
The county has made money off of that site. I don't know what the numbers are now, but when I left over there, I calculated our cost with the grants and everything. We had made $600,000 plus on that property. Mm-hmm. So
because of the nature of the work and stuff we're doing there with rehabbing the stream, mm-hmm. that we had to get numerous permits in order to do that, and that somewhat slowed down the process besides the fact of the SHA review. So that's kind of where we are at this stage in the game.
Yeah, it wasn't our idea to go in and open up daylight the stream
no.
and put a bridge in and all that kind of stuff. So.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next.
The next contract award, this is for 2 1-ton trucks that are included in the fiscal year 2016 budget. One is for the Roads Division of Public Works, the other is for the Utilities Division. We did accept 5 bids, and there was a late bid, which were due on October 22nd of 2015. A bid tabulation, again, was provided under correspondence earlier. After reviewing the bids for compliance, the recommendation is to award the Roads Division truck to Wynn Kelly Chevrolet out of Clarksville, Maryland. The total price of that truck is $45,087.50. It's basically a 1-ton truck with a Knapheide utility body and a crane, an auto crane on the back of the truck. There is one thing that I need to point out with that recommendation. We were requesting that for it to have an alternator or 220 amps. The alternator that was on that truck was only 150. So they do make a 220, but the additional cost is $136.50. So I'm asking the board to go ahead and award the bid based on the additional alternator cost, and I outlined that in the recommendation. The other truck is for the Utilities Division. The recommendation is to award that bid to Criswell Chrysler Jeep Dodge out of Gaithersburg. And the total purchase price there, we're just buying a cab and chassis for that truck. The Utilities Division is going to take the dump bed off of what is existing. It was in good enough shape to transfer it over. So when the truck comes in, it's going to J&J, and they're going to transfer that over for us to save us some money there. The low bid for that one-ton truck and chassis, or the cab and chassis, does require, I'd indicated, we had a lower bid from Timbrook Automotive, but there were several items that they did not meet the minimum specifications. So I outlined that in the correspondence I provided to you previously. So that's the reason why we weren't awarding to Timbrook and going on to Criswell, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge. And one thing in particular, the Dodge warranty was a lot greater than the, I think it was a 100,000 mile powertrain warranty versus a 60,000 mile powertrain warranty with the Ford. That was a big thing. And there were four other items where they, where the Ford truck fell short from Timbrook. But in total, there was, as I mentioned earlier, funding for both trucks is included in this year's budget. $45,000 for the truck for the roads and $70,000 for the truck for the utilities division. Any questions on that for me?
Motion to approve the truck bids.
So moved.
We have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
Motion and second. Question and motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Bids awarded.
Stephanie Jeffman, I have for you a carpentry, general carpentry services bid number 15-1015C. It was advertised for 2 weeks. Bids were due on October 15th. We had four potential bids, and then five bid services requested copies. Only one response was received. And working with facilities and maintenance, recommendation is to award a contract on an as-needed basis. Thompson Construction out of Brandsville at a basic rate of $28 an hour, percent for markup is 10%. The contract period would be from award date to August 31st, 2016, and then the contract can be awarded for 4 additional 1-year periods, providing all terms and conditions remain in full force.
Question, comment?
Well, I talked to Kevin about this earlier. I want to make sure I understand this clearly.
Sure.
My idea is that this contract would be used to do things that we can't do in-house.
Not necessarily. It's an on-needed basis, so if Junior's crew are busy doing PMs or something else, or an emergency, then they would call them.
You didn't let me finish, or I would have said that. So, I don't want to use this to circumvent a competitive procurement process that would allow other people to have an opportunity to get in there. I agree, if it's beyond our capability, we're too busy, or there's an emergency of some kind, then I'm all for it. I have no reservations about it. I don't know if we have a procedure written for this or anything, a regulation, but my suggestion is that you be involved in approving using this contract to make sure that we're not, I don't know how to say this, but to make sure that we're not using it to avoid things we might be able to do ourselves, or we're using it, that, better said, that we're using it prudently and for what it's intended to be.
And we had this discussion with Kevin previously before this actually went out on the street, that we were, you know, anybody can make improvements to processes and things, and that was kind of where we were going with this. And we actually included in there some safeguards that weren't in that contract originally that we plan on putting into, we have a plumbing contract, an HVAC contract. I mean, there are several other contracts that are on this that are exactly the same. I mean, they're based on an hourly rate plus an approved markup on materials. So I think to alleviate some of your concerns that there are safeguards built in there that, I mean, if I don't know if you want to elaborate on what those are, but we put in some dollar thresholds to where, you know, anything above $15,000, we need to be made aware of in our office. And that wasn't necessarily happening on some of the other, you know, prices whenever they were getting quotes, facilities and maintenance, or other using departments. So I just wanted to stress that, you know, we had the discussion with Kevin. We realized that we needed to make improvements, and we have.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I personally, $15,000 is too high, but I don't want to drag it out here.
But that's the sealed bid threshold.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
right,
why we require sealed bids. So, I mean, that's why we want it to be
consistent with our regulations, our bid.
Yes.
I don't want to take up a lot of time here, but you could make the threshold $5,000, couldn't you?
We could, but it'd be the same thing. If you go out for bids, you wouldn't see $5,000.
I guess I'll work with Kevin on that. I guess my concern is that I would rather give people an opportunity to compete for a lower level than the $15,000. You're saying it's more than $15,000, you have to go out for bids.
No.
I mean, we're saying that we want to be aware of what the scope of work is and the level of work at the $15,000 threshold, so we can determine in our office whether we would be, it would be more advantageous for us to go out to bid. So that's kind of the mechanism. I mean, there are other things built in there as well. That's the key thing to me where we needed to improve on.
Well, I'm in favor. I have no problem with awarding the contract. I'll get with you then and share my concerns, and you can make sure that those checks and balances are put.
Yes, sir.
And we will certainly provide you a copy of the bid package as well, and with the noted highlights of what has changed. And I think that may help a little bit. I mean, I realize that there's still a disparity maybe in where the numbers are in terms of 15 versus 5. But we're making progress and establishing better safeguards.
So, Brian, in those other contracts that were approved previously, are they on one-year reoccurring contracts as well?
Yes, and we bring those contracts to you all every year
right.
for renewal.
Are those safeguards in those?
They are not.
So at the end of those years, they will be
added,
updated?
Yes. Or, I mean, if the board so chooses, you know, we don't have to renew them. We can rebid them with the safeguards in them, you know,
right.
this
right.
coming year or right. whenever they
that
renew.
Probably is the
yeah. My concern is with you guys. I mean, you know,
oh, I totally understand.
I mean, like we have a master electrician, so before we go out and pay somebody else to do electrical work, we should be looking at
yes.
can we do it ourselves?
Understood.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks for your understanding.
Sure.
Any other questions on the carpentry contract discussion? We have a motion to approve the carpentry contract.
So moved.
We have a second.
Second.
Motion. Second. Question. Motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Bid approved.
That's what we have, gentlemen's recommendation for contract extension. Contract number 14-1113FP for fire prevention systems was between Pillar, Arc Systems, and Ashby. The county was to expire on November 30th, 2015. We are asking for an extension of 1 year on the same terms and conditions to Pillar out of Grantsville, Maryland, Fire Protection Products out of Cumberland, Maryland, and Arc Systems out of Columbia, Maryland. The new contract period would be December 1, 2015 to November 30, 2016. With the approval of this request, there will be one additional extension remaining on the contract.
Question or discussion? Motion to approve the renewal.
Second.
We have a motion and a second.
Second.
Motion and a second. Question and motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Brian, quick question. Just dawned on me. The landfill, and you may not be the guy to ask, but I'm going to ask anyway. The covering, when we close the cell and we got to cover it over, where do we get that material? Does that come through you guys' office, or is that through the landfill specifically?
For where we, just for clarification, where we close the Round Glade landfill or where we do our cover every evening?
No, where we close the cell and we got to cover it.
It's been a while since we actually have closed. I think it was 97, 98 when we closed Round Glade. You know, we were actually looking for that closure report, looking at that site further for maybe solar or wind. So I don't have an answer for you in terms of what that material was. But we could certainly look into it
Let
further.
Me know. Not
I
in,
mean,
not
Dave in, Dave is making efforts. They could not find the closure report at their office, so they had to get back down to MES, which helped us. And I know that they had to send out to get things that were off-site for storage, so it's been a little long process, but I'll certainly look into it.
They take a lot on-site for the daily cover. They do their daily
Yeah,
yeah, it's all,
yeah
that's
I mean,
what I assume. That's all on-site stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but we will look into it and let you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay, next up on the agenda is the Run For It event update from the Tucker Community Foundation and Diane Hinkle.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to come meet with you commissioners, all three are new faces to me up here. My name is Diane Hinkle. I am with the Tucker Community Foundation. Tucker Community Foundation is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that's based in Tucker County, but it serves eight counties, of which Garrett County is one. Community foundations are worldwide. It's not unusual for a community foundation to serve multiple counties. We've been in existence since 1989, so we're going into our 27th year of operation. I'm development director of the organization. We started our Run For It program in 2007. I'd like to give you gentlemen a little bit of the background so you know more about the program going forward. Like a community foundation, county commissioners, we share something in common, and that is that we very often get far more funding requests than we do have resources to dole out. I know that firsthand because the other hat I wear is I'm also a county commissioner in Tucker County. So this program was developed in 2007 with that in mind. What we wanted to do was to provide additional resources for those people applying for grants throughout our eight-county region. We also wanted to engage more people in a healthy activity. We're constantly aware of the need to get people more engaged in physical activities. So this event was created to appeal to all ages and all abilities. And in a few minutes, I'm going to let some of the participants speak to that. If you came on race day, this year we had 1,200 racers, and it was everyone from a three-month-old baby to a 98-year-old in a wheelchair that participated. The event's user-friendly for all ages and abilities. We also wanted to teach nonprofits the concept of leveraging and how to really maximize the bang they get out of each buck. They need to learn the concept of leveraging, and Run For It has been very effective in that regard. We also wanted to reward effort. As you know, I'm sure you get a lot of nonprofit groups that come to you for funding. And it is somewhat challenging to have to go before someone and ask for funding, but it requires little effort. To get out and have to run or walk for funding requires effort. And so we wanted to reward that effort, and that's what Run For It does. The results of that, I have some handouts for you, and I apologize. I tried to print front to back to reduce paper, but the printer won out, and I wasn't able to accomplish that. So, what you'll see here, the first two pages are the same report. It's our distribution report, and it shows you the teams that participated. The top copy shows you we had 53 teams participating this year. And at the end of the day, we were able to distribute $189,226 to those 53 teams. Run For It is not a fundraiser for our foundation. It's a fundraiser for nonprofits and charitable organizations in our communities. Garrett Trails and Garrett Mentors were two teams that we had from Garrett County. We had representation from all eight counties that we serve. We had teams that traveled as far as Pocahontas County. Garrett Trails had the largest out-of-county team, so I think they deserve a lot of credit for that. They had 44 team members, and that was in large part to a fiance and a bride who were getting married at Blackwater Falls that afternoon. And so with their wedding invitations, they put the Run For It entry form into all, and everybody ran for it. It was great. So they ran the race, and then they went to Blackwater Falls and got married. And just by virtue of that effort, they won an additional $250 for having that with their team. But if you look at this distribution report, it really shows you how the event works. It shows you the participants for every team member they get. Half of their entry fee will be distributed back to their cause. Every team is challenged to raise team sponsor money. The teams that raise the most money win the most money. And then race day awards. Our foundation seeds an award purse. We seed it with $10,000. When we started in 2007, we were able to generate an additional $9,000, and we were thrilled that we were able to award close to $20,000 back in 2007. This year, we awarded over $86,000. Our race sponsors have either upped the ante, or we've had new sponsors sign on every year, but they understand the value of this program. So we've been very fortunate that we have never experienced donor fatigue. If you look at the third page, gives you a breakdown of our race sponsors, but the fourth page is the tracking report, and that really gives you a clear picture of how important the county commission support is. If you look the third block down, county commission support, we now have six county commissions who this year awarded a total of $19,000 to teams from their counties. The nice thing about this program is we are able to guarantee that every dime you sponsor for your county will come back to your county. None of it stays in Tucker County. So there's a learning curve. With some county commissions, it was a little bit harder to get them on board with this, but those that have gotten on board have, for the most part, increased the amount of support they give every year because they're seeing the benefit. It's actually an investment in your county. So your teams this year were able to raise in team sponsor support, let's see. This year, your $500 investment, your return on that was over $5,000 that came back to Garrett County. That's significant. You don't get that through too many programs. Over the course of the program, over $23,000 has come back to Garrett County. We'd like to see more come back. We feel like as your support maintains or grows, the number of teams from Garrett County will increase. That's what we've seen in Preston County. That's what we've experienced in Barber County. So there's no guarantee of that, but it seems reasonable that the more motivation they have to participate in the program, the more nonprofits and charities are likely to participate. It also shows you a breakdown of where our other major race sponsors are coming from. The McDonough Foundation is listed on the top line. For the past 3 years, they have contributed between $25,000 and $30,000 to this program. They're out of Parkersburg, West Virginia. They get no direct benefit, but it's a statewide foundation, and over the years, they've been watching the event grow, and they came to me in 2013, and they sought us out and said they wanted to partner in this program because it was able to tap a whole region that they weren't able to identify the needs in. So Run For It has gotten statewide attention. We appreciate the support that you all have given. What I would look for is I hope that you will continue to support this program in 2016, and I hope that you'll welcome another request for that. And I'm always looking for other race sponsors specific to Garrett County who would sponsor a Best of Garrett County team so that we have even more money to support causes over here in Garrett County. And with that, I'd like to take just a minute and introduce to you who you already know, Steve Green from Garrett Trails. And I want to get your name right, Teresa. Okay, they both participated. If you wouldn't mind, I'd like you to hear from your constituents.
Thank you for helping the Run For It program, for helping Garrett Trails. As we do our nonprofit mission, we seem to be able to find capital funds, but to spend those capital funds, we need operating support, which is really, really, really hard to find. So what you guys do for us, what Run For It does for it, is great. Now, for this next year, it's going to be a challenge. We need to find two people who want to get married to help us out. That's not easy to do as a nonprofit. But seeing as Laura's not here, you guys are four people that are welcome to join our team. We're looking for people that can run fast and
actually,
get our age spots.
Actually, Jim told me that he couldn't make it, but he paid me $10.
I owe you
$10.
I didn't forget it. I'll give you $10.
And during the awards ceremony, we invite the county commissioners to hand their awards out. And several of the commissions are there on race day. And I know it's a busy time of year, but we had the Preston County Commissioner there, and the Buckwheat Festival was the same day. So not to put any pressure on you, but just to let you know that.
Well, Larry here is
Larry,
pretty quick.
Yeah,
he's,
Larry, he can.
He's always out chasing cows around and everything.
He brought up a very good point. Run For It is different than other grant programs in that most grants don't support operations. Run For It does support operations. So many of our organizations are counting on this now as their big fundraiser. And so every fundraiser they do, they're advertising it in support of Run For It. That way they can turn that money in as team sponsor support and leverage additional funding. So the team captains have gotten really smart and they have a strategy going into this. The more they participate in it, the smarter they get and the more money they win. So.
Yes, you guys are welcome on our team next year. There's a 2K walk.
There's a 2K walk.
The 5K run.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah. We can do the walk.
Yeah. My 90-year-old mother finished the 2K walk. She was not dead last, but almost. But she's 90, and she finished the 2K walk.
The 2K walk is more competitive than you think, you asked Teresa.
I got knocked to the ground.
Cutthroat 2K.
I couldn't believe it. I ran a lot when I was younger. I had never been shoved to the ground before, so people are trying to win awards because there are awards for the fastest, the oldest, and this guy here got us some extra money for being first in his age group and eighth overall, so we appreciate your support, and I would encourage you, like Diane said, to continue your support and possibly think about growing it because we did such a nice job of advertising and promoting this event, and letting people know, about our bride and groom and how much money we earned, $1,155, that I have heard from other nonprofits who say we're doing that event next year, which means the pie is getting smaller and smaller, but we appreciate your support.
The secret's like the Army PT test, it's getting older. If you can get older,
exactly.
Then you don't have to do as much.
I've done a good job, last year going after George Collins and his wife because if you look at the specific, the underrepresented age groups are where you need the fast people.
Yeah.
And we are adding an 80 plus to the 2K walk, so there will be an award for 80 plus. Most of our awards are based on effort. We do have the speed categories for the first to finish the 2K walk and the fastest 5K. But the majority of the big money awards are based on effort. And again, that comes down to fundraising, the number of team members they have, the amount of team spirit, whatever they do that demonstrates effort. If one team has one sponsor who donates $10,000, and we have a couple of teams that have a sugar daddy that gives them $10,000, that shows some effort. But if you have a smaller team who goes out to 300 people and gets a dollar from each one of them, that's a whole lot of effort. So those are the kind of things we're looking at that I don't think you'll find another event like it in terms of that. And, we always try to grow that pot. 2016 looks like it could be a very challenging fundraising year for everybody. I can't ever guarantee that we'll have $86,000 to award on race day. Starting in January, I'll do everything I can to build that first. And I'll look to you all to help me with that. Thank you. Are there any questions?
No, thank you for coming over.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Steve, thank you and Teresa. Here's my $10, by the way. I didn't forget about it. As soon as you came in and I saw you there, I said,
oh, shoot,
She's going to get me.
Oh, $10.
And so add that to the kitty.
I did bring those pictures. Not all the team members were present, but just so you could see some of the faces that were there.
I recognize some.
Well, good luck, and thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, next on the agenda is board appointments. Mr. Noel, you want to take us through this?
Yes, sir. This is for the Carroll County Health Department Local Management Board. There were two openings. Actually, their term expired. This is a replacement for a member who has resigned. We've got a vacancy. Two names were submitted for one opening. Cynthia Tishnell and Sam Moon were put in for consideration by the Health Department and Local Management Board. So, you want me to read your bios?
Both of these have expressed agreeance to serve if appointed?
Yes, they have.
I'm recusing myself.
Let the record show that Commissioner Titchnell's recusing himself. Any thoughts?
They're obviously based on the brief biographical sketch of their experience in education. I'd say they're both very qualified. I've talked to a few people about this that are on the LMB, and I would nominate Mr. Moon.
All right, nomination of Mr. Moon. I'll second that. That's all we should need. Motion to second.
I mean, it's a difficult choice because they obviously both have
right
good qualifications.
Right. Okay. Garrett County Commission on Women, 3-year term. Am I reading this correctly? There's two vacancies and we have two nominees.
That is correct.
Nominees are Judy Carbone and Sherry Krug. Any discussion about those nominations? Motion to accept.
So moved.
We have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
Question on motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Appointments approved. Any other items from the commission? All right, come the time now for public comment. Do we have anyone wish to comment this time? Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Jessica Josephson. And I was wondering if the commissioners or the organizations that appoint people could actually put an ad or something like that in the paper or on your website and say that there are empty places for various people on commissions and boards and things, and let people volunteer to be considered.
We are, Mr. Nall, do you want to address that?
Yes, we started doing this probably 2 months ago. These particular appointments were in the queue before that. So now any openings that occur for any commissions or boards in the county that the commissioners are involved with will be on posted on the website for people that are interested to apply.
How many weeks or whatever before?
As soon as we get the opening, we'll mm-hmm. put it on, yes.
And what about the other entities that have the ability to nominate people for their positions? Like the Economic Development Group and the Social Services Organization?
Yeah,
unless they're filled through us, we probably won't put them on. Those groups aren't truly connected to the county, so it's, we can't put, you know, Lions Clubs all over the county and everybody that wants to put things in.
That work with, you know, that are, I mean, you have that Social Services Group, that's a county operation. Even if it's an independent nonprofit, it's still a county operation.
What social services do?
What is the name of the group that does all the stuff for women and kids and?
Partnership for Children and Families?
No, the organization. I'm sorry, I just
Community don't Action?
Yeah, Community Action.
Community Action has their own board, though, that does. They're independent of us. We work together with them like we work together with town councils and everyone else, but they're not a subsidiary of ours.
No, 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 but all their activity relates to the county, right?
I think there are some cases like the hospital and maybe Community Action where we have a representative on that board. That would be a case of where I think we would put on the website and see who's interested. But those are people that we
anything that we have to approve or anything that we actually nominate for, we'll put on. Anything that's outside of that purview, I don't think really is the responsibility of the county. Because then there's a gray area of where do you draw the line, and someone comes in and thinks they have a good idea and should be there, and then next thing you know, you've got chaos. I think the safe bet is if we nominate or we approve, we'll post.
Okay, and then can you provide us with a list of all the boards and commissions that exist in the county? Because I think people are kind
of
confused.
That's public information, and you can call Carol at any time,
website.
And it's on the website.
Is it updated and everything?
Yes.
Okay.
Not all of them, but the ones that the county is responsible for, yes.
Right.
It's on the website, yes, ma'am.
And we can find out which ones the county isn't responsible for also.
Not on the website, no, ma'am.
Okay.
Right. The ones that the county is responsible for, they're all the boards and commissions are listed on the website with all the members and their terms.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
The last set of commissioners, the last triumvirate, they posted the what she was asking for.
They posted
the openings that you can fill.
That's
yes,
what we're
saying. And we did. They are.
I mean, before you.
We are.
We are, okay.
Oh, you're saying the previous board said
previous
they would
board
do that.
Did that what she was asking about. Yes.
I'm all confused.
They posted the openings that you filled. For
yes, we do.
But I thought you just said you started doing it now all of a sudden.
No, 2 months ago we started. These were in the queue.
In the transition,
prior,
I'm not sure if it was done or not between we started.
I see what you're saying.
Just
saying
it's
yes.
I see what you're saying now. I didn't know what you were talking about. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, on the front page of the Cumberland Times today is a brief notice that the state of Maryland has decided not to complete the purchase of the parcel and yacht club road because of existing covenant and title issues. What is missing in the article, I believe, is a paragraph basically thanking you guys and really calling the county commissioners out. It is not often that a board makes a decision, responds to citizens' concerns, sends the county administrator out, and then modifies its position. And I think that is, if I remind you about your mission statement, you talk about achieve this goal, this government must be operated in an open and accessible atmosphere. And I think you did an excellent job in being open and accessible to citizens, and that you then were open enough to adopt your position. And I think that is laudatory. I'm very, very pleased, and I think that it's a wonderful signal to the larger community that you as a board are accessible and will engage and have dialogue with people, and we can make our point and you'll listen. So deeply appreciate it. That said, but I do think going forward, as every opportunity provides a learning opportunity. And I think that at least what I've taken out of that process that took place is there is a strong support for developing public access to to DeCreek, that it needs to be done in a reasonable manner. It needs to have citizen engagement. It needs to have a process that really looks at all the options and evaluates that. What we've learned is that the state of Maryland, through DNR acquisition, can go ahead and engage in the purchase of property without any consultation or advisement to the abutters of the property or to impacted citizens. And as somebody who's concerned about citizen input, I think that that's a concern, that as far as the Board of Public Works is, all it needs is a letter from one of the state delegation, and that represents citizen input in their process. And so that's, in essence, if we let DNR, through their acquisitions department, do the process. The county also, in your review, pulled in from your planning department previous documents that had been done looking at other options for public access. But again, there wasn't that wasn't known at the beginning of the process or citizen input on it. It perversely, and you know what I feel about the watershed management plan, that in fact that process, which was ignored both by the state and the county, it is a goal within the watershed plan, and it clearly states a set of strategies to get public access. And the process basically is a 3 to 5 year process by which the Lake Management Office is responsible for looking at opportunities, assessing them, going into further detail as they identify sites that would be useful, engaging citizens in these conversations, and then eventually within 3 to 5 years making recommendations. I think that that is a good process because it does allow, it acknowledges that citizen input should be a part of the process. So there's the watershed plan giving Lake Management the lead role in doing it. There's the county with its planning processes, and then it's the DNR and the acquisition. So I think what we've learned is we probably ought to come out of this process figuring out how we really, what's the best way to go forward on this, which is most cost effective, most inclusive, most transparent, and actually gets us our goal, which is to open up some access. Always a learning opportunity.
Thank you. Anyone
else?
You
guys done well.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Well, I think they, upon further review, made the decision that they felt that they had to make. I mean, I don't know if it really is for us to comment on. You know, I am pleased that they did come back and talk to us. I actually spoke with the secretary on the phone about 2 weeks before. I mean, the secretary himself called me on the phone about 2 weeks before the decision, and we talked about a few things, which, you know, I'm pleased with, because one of the things that we've talked about is trying to create those open lines of communication with the state and to become more active and involved in that. So I was pleased with that. Daryl Anthony did email us then when the decision was made before it hit the paper, which I appreciate, and talked about next steps and you know, why what happened in case we would get questions when it did hit the media, which I appreciate, and don't know if that's always happened that way. So as far as on the decision, I mean, I think, you know, when they were presented with more information, I think you got to give them a little bit of credit too. They went back, they looked, and then they decided to do what they decided to do. So I think they deserve some credit on that. But as far as, you know, right, wrong, or indeed, I mean, that, you know, is what it is.
With the process,
right.
The discussion.
And I think it is, you know, a learning curve in the sense that, you know, those communication lines have already opened up. I've already seen it. You know, we're talking much more with DNR. I know Garrett Trails took the secretary out personally on a trip that I know hasn't happened previous to this. So, you know, that we take away as a positive. Thank you. Anyone else? All right, thanks for coming out. The next meeting is December the 7th. Here, right?
Here, yes.
Yeah, December the 7th here. Thank you all very much. Motion adjourned. Second. Meeting adjourned.
I didn't want to bring it up on the table. I think you